Do not attempt to adjust your programming. You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Can we play this live?
Can you sing it, Aaron?
We can.
Is this all keyboard, Aaron? Yeah. I always pictured you, Aaron, when you made our intro, that you had like the pacifier in your mouth and rave lights going on in the background, and you're just beating back the beat.
Why is that pacifier?
Like a rave.
It's a rave. It's a space rave.
You're on ecstasy and you gotta suck on something.
I never raved.
He never raved?
That's what I imagine you did. Hey, Aaron, cheers.
I know. These are championship beers.
That's right. Where's yours, Ryan?
Oh, I drank that shit already. It was great.
Gotta wait for the podcast.
I didn't. Nobody gave me the memo. I freaking ripped my muscle off and I was like, I need a beer. And it was really good. I got the Mortal Kombat one.
Nice. Well, welcome in, everyone, to episode 339.
Thanks for the live rendition of our intro.
Yes, we are victorious with the trivia from last Thursday. We came out on top. That's why we got the Something Brewery. We each won a beer for coming in first. We got a special guest, Aaron, here, if you haven't noticed. Aaron, welcome.
Hello.
You were part of that championship team. What was our title, our name?
Oh, God.
It was long.
Old school with spaceballs in the mouth.
Old school. I forget the middle part. Going old school.
Super bad spaceballs?
Super bad spaceballs, yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
The lady at the bar kept calling us super bad super balls.
Super bad super balls. Oh, I like
she
it. Needs super balls,
like
guys.
She needed some super bad super balls.
I think that's accurate.
But I invited Ryan, or not Ryan. Ryan, you're always invited on the show.
Thanks,
but
bro.
I
appreciate it.
I aired onto the podcast because we started having a little conversation at the bar that night because Ryan again had to pull up his AI co-pilot and got a whole nother Street Shark script. Totally amazing.
I pull it up all the time, man. That was the first time I ever just used it.
I thought you did. No, you used it on the podcast literally the night before. I feel like, how many scripts do you have made now from AI?
Just Street Sharks. The only one that matters, honestly. Oh,
okay. Yeah, but like,
I mean, if you want, I'll make one live while we're talking.
Do you just keep on saying like, hey, I need Street Sharks meet the Ninja Turtles. I need a script for that.
Here, let's right now.
Wait, no, right, don't need it. That's not what I was trying to get to here. We don't need to do this. But Aaron brought up just an interesting point, and maybe this is time for the quick question.
I always bring up interesting points.
It's true. You really do, Aaron. You are
a
philosopher.
What
about hard?
You said I always bring up good points, and there's going to be a hard on at 9:30.
Ooh, can I attend?
No, you got hard out.
Oh, yeah, I got a hard out. You got a hard on at 9:30. Okay. So, Ryan, hit the question button. Oh,
yeah. Hit the question button. Sorry, I was getting ready for...
What? How? Why? I have so many questions!
Bum, bum. Vegeta. That was Vegeta, right?
No. Cell.
Cell. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're right.
We were talking about AI and basically, you know, continue our conversation from last week about, like, you know, if an AI made a whole, like, movie, would you watch it? And Aaron brought up there's this, like, lawsuit and about this. And so since, you know, Aaron's part of the biz, as we all know.
I think you guys should just start calling me the biz.
I thought about it. But then if I go, like, hey, the biz, how's the biz? It's a little too much. So
I think it's not enough.
Oh, okay. Okay. The biz. How does the biz feel about AI? The biz.
Yeah, biz.
You know, I never really had an opinion about it. And then I had this nephew who, like, showed me this artwork that he does. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about AI. And then once he said it like that, he's like, hey, look at this artwork I did.
Oh,
right, yeah. Away, I was like, no. No, you didn't.
Oh, so you could recognize right away, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's never done, like, digital design a day in his life.
And
he'd been kind of like, he'd kind of bring up AI, and it was still kind of young. Like, when all the pictures still kind of looked all queer and cross-eyed.
Yeah, and the weird hands and everything.
Yeah, but it was like a super cool, like, dragon and castle thing, and just, like, right away, it didn't sound right to have someone who put in prompts in a computer and came out with this super awesome AI work of art to be like, hey, look at what I did. And I was just like, no, you didn't. And so being in the biz, the more it comes up now, like, I still kind of maintain that, like, I think it's going to be a cool tool. Like, even with the screenplays, like, it's a cool prompt. But as far as the lawsuits, like, we got to protect, like, copyright and people's creations. Like, that's kind of my stance on it. Because.
So, okay. There's the lawsuits are about the copyright. Like,
yeah.
Basically, this AI technology is, like, scouring the internet looking for everything.
Yeah.
And you're saying, like, some of these copyrights are basically got a hold of that stuff and put it into, like, their database and is using that.
Yeah, because that's how AI works, right? Like, right now it has this endless pool of creations.
Yeah.
It's not creating anything. It's just compiling, like, everything that's ever been created.
True. So let me add to this, because while we're debating if AI is real, it is real, but if it's valid.
There's no debating if it's real. We know it's real. It's totally real.
I
just did it.
As you can see on Copilot and Microsoft.com.
On our YouTube page.
On our YouTube page, write a script for a Star Wars movie featuring Nicolas Cage, directed by Aaron Tanguma.
Oh, shit. You're a part of it now, Aaron. You're a part of it.
Right, son of a bitch.
You didn't call his name, do his name right. You didn't call Aaron the biz.
Well, you know, I mean, they're going to assume once this movie hits, because it's called The Galactic Enigma. And it is in the distant corner of a galaxy, a mysterious artifact with power to reshape the reality emerges. A ragtag crew led by the ignatic Captain Nicolas Cage embarks on a perilous quest to unlock its secrets. But as they delve deeper, they discover that their destinies are intertwined with ancient prophecies, cosmic forces, and villainous empire hell-bent on controlling the artifact. The Galactic Enigma is a thrilling space odyssey where Cage's charisma meets interstellar intrigue.
Yeah,
we have Nick Cage, Felicity Jones, Alan Tudyk, and Diego Luna.
they didn't change that up hardly at all.
No. Oh. And this is why you can't use this. And I just love how they didn't change Nicolas Cage as Captain Nicolas Cage.
Would you have it anyway?
No, I would. It's
scene 4, The Enigma Unleashed. And then the Cage Paradox. Why isn't the movie not called The Cage Paradox?
Not yet. AI's going to make it. Yeah.
Aaron, I'll say,
gonna make it.
When you do make this movie, you know, you can refine this a little bit more.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, Aaron, when you brought that up, though, the whole like copyright side of things, you know, like, I you're absolutely 100% right. Like, it should not be doing that. But I guess where does it, how far can it go? And I guess, you know, what are the boundaries? I think that's what I'm trying to figure out. Cause like, you know, you just had all the Disney, their whole Mickey Mouse, the Willy's Steamboat Factory shit thing, right? That's public domain now, right?
Factory shit. That's a great movie.
It's public domain. You say whatever you want about Willy's Steamboat now. Is that a thing? So, you know, like, and I think that's like 97 years. Is that what we read, Ryan? That like,
that sounds
100. Yeah. 100 years after, like, now it's finally public domain. Like, is that too much time? Not enough time? The right amount of time? Or, you know, I guess that's what, for the biz, the show biz.
The biz.
Is that enough, or should it shouldn't never be part of this?
I don't know. I think public domain is a different question. Like, there should be some freedoms, because if an artist has passed away, at some, like, you don't want that to just be buried with them. And I know a lot of times their families take over. Like, you got the Beatles and all that, and Michael Jackson. Like, people inherit that stuff, but that, I don't know, that's such a big question. Like, to me, 100 years is a bit much.
I agree, 100, because we're in a fast-paced world nowadays. I think 50 years is, like, a good amount of time.
Yeah. As far as domain goes, but like copyright, like someone, whoever owns that, hopefully it's ethical and related to the character or the creator. But
copyright, you mean,
to me, is a different issue. Like, as long as a studio is going to make money off of something, whoever created whatever they're making should make probably more. And that's like the question. We go over and over. It's what the strikes were about, and
yeah, and they added, you know, some stipulations within those new deals with the writers, yeah, and the actors about AI technology.
The whole likeness thing, I think, was huge, because that would suck if, like, studios could basically say, "Oh, we don't need you anymore. We just scanned your face and your voice, and we're good now."
Yeah, well, but I mean, unless you sign away your rights to that, right? So
yeah, I can't imagine who the hell would, but
well, there was times where I don't think they were aware of what that meant. So like, you're like, oh yeah, sure, you can, you know, use my likeness in some other thing, you know. Yeah. But now, to the extent they can do, it's they can make a whole nother movie without you.
Yeah,
you know. It just could go on and on and on. We're like, okay, that's not what I signed up for. I was just thinking that you're going to do, you know, a quick voiceover in like the sequel word that I'm not a part of, you know, right. Like, it's totally changed things because the technology wasn't there before.
So technology's gone such a long way so fast that, I mean, I think people are doing a good job of keeping these issues, like, they're aware of them, so it's not like getting past a whole lot of people, but I think there was a time where, you know, people got to think about this stuff now.
Well, they do. Think about, like, entities like Darth Vader or Mufasa, where James Earl Jones is in his 90s now, and he in a way signed his likeness and did plenty of voiceovers that they can use that technology to keep those characters alive and going for future movies and spinoffs and such. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce Willis kind of did the same thing when he realized he was sickly and he couldn't act or do anything anymore to portray really? Characters, but he still has like his likeness. And was Harrison Ford doing the same thing, or am I off on Harrison Ford?
Yeah, I don't know what extent they've done that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of actors have done it for certain franchises and stuff, but I don't know if anyone's just straight up like
who owns the likeness? Like,
well, it's part of that contract. Like, the only one that I've heard, I think James Earl Jones did it. I think he's the only one that's actually agreed to do it. And I think it was for Darth Vader. I think.
And like I said, that's for that franchise. To me, that makes way more sense than just a studio being like, oh, no, we got you once, and now we can use it anytime we want, forever.
Yeah, that was like a whole new deal. I think he got paid for that. I mean, we should probably really vet all this, but, you know, I like just making up things that I briefly heard.
Bruce Willis did not sell his likeness, by the way.
I can only imagine. Can you imagine the contracts for that type of deal to be like, yeah, you're going to sign away your likeness and your voice and everything? Like, you would almost have to go down like the list of like every single thing you're willing to have a computer generated image of you, you know, make, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would need to like go, are you into butt stuff? You know, are you okay with these things, right?
I did not agree to be in this like 10 film porno franchise, guys.
Exactly, man. It'd be such a hard contract to write in so many things. And then I'm sure you probably forget the one thing, like we're like, haha, you didn't say anything about nose shit. So got you there.
Gotcha.
Oh man, I can't even imagine.
But sorry. Google keeps on kicking me off because it doesn't like my likeness and I'm disagreeing with it.
You didn't sign a contract with Google?
Well, I just didn't pay attention to what it was telling me.
Phoenix.
Yeah, it said Google has a problem with the filter touch up that you have, and I'm like, I don't have a filter touch up, and I realized I did. So I turned it off and I shouldn't have a problem anymore. But
you sound so sad about it.
Well, no, I'm just sick.
You look good how you are, Ryan. You don't need any filters.
Well, I know that. I'm not a 14-year-old girl.
I don't know. I liked you better 5 minutes ago.
Let me turn it back on. Dude, AI is a tricky thing. Like you said, your nephew with the art piece and it being art, like, it is just prompts. And the more detailed you can get into prompts, the more detailed it's going to project something. Remember, the first video that we saw was a creepy-ass video of Will Smith eating spaghetti, and it just looked like,
I remember that
a monster was just devouring, like, I can't even tell you what the hell it was. But now
the eyes are all jacked up and things are kind of protruding.
Spaghetti was going into his like nostrils and like coming out of his like ears and stuff. It was weird. It was just weird. But now there's enough technology behind AI where you can give it a very distinct scene setup, and it will output exactly what you want it to do.
Yeah, the stuff they're coming up with now is, I can't believe they've gone so quick in such a short amount of time. Because,
well, it's, dude,
when it was first coming out, I was like, I'm not worried.
Yeah, that it's Skynet.
Stuff
man.
Looks like crap. Yeah,
it's learning from itself.
That's just it, though. Like, to me, it's not like. It's not artificial intelligence. It's just a really highly advanced search engine.
It is. And but our computers have been preparing us for this entire time. Everything that we search, it is gathering that data, and it is basically creating an algorithm that what it wants us to see. And that's what AI is basically built off of.
Yeah, but it's still, though, it's taking information from all this stuff and making something new. It is creating still.
Yeah.
Replicating.
So when does it get to the point, though, where it's creating its own program?
That's what I mean. Like, I think that'll be scary, is when it doesn't have to be prompted, but it's compelled to create, and it just starts putting together its own prompts. That, to me, that'll be artificial intelligence.
AI is telling AI what to do. Yeah,
okay. That
makes a lot of sense.
So let me ask you this. This is a whole nother side of like the AI thing. Like, you're talking about just it, you know, taking copyrighted stuff or taking people's art, whatever form that might be. But right now, let's say, well, I guess this kind of goes into it. I believe Secret Invasion, that Disney Marvel show with Sam Jackson, like, they did their intro that was AI generated, and people were kind of pissed off about it because you just typed in some stuff like, hey, I need this stuff to spit out an intro for me. And basically you got that for free, right? You got that for nothing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're taking our jobs? Oh, that's exactly my point. They're taking your jobs. Now, like Ryan just wrote, like, hey, write a script for me. Like now, like if someone goes and does that, like, hey, it's the deadline. I need a script for the next what's a sitcom that's still on? I was gonna say Two and a Half Men, but that's done.
Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon, I need a new half an hour sitcom for Young Sheldon.
Like, that's gonna be done too.
Yeah. You know who's already done it? South Park.
Who's already done it? They already used AI to make a show?
Made a full-on episode based off AI.
Based off? Or was it
like, did it create the script?
They created the script, wrote everything in AI.
Yeah, but I guarantee you that's amended by two writing geniuses. I guarantee you they didn't do it like verbatim. There's no way.
I need to see like the behind the scenes on that, but
it's not how those guys operate.
Yeah. So I guess, are you concerned about that part of it, Aaron, is like, oh shit, you're taking away work. Like I think there's going to be some jobs that are always going to be there. And I also think just in general, I think that we feel like a person can do this better. Like there's just so much more that goes into creating something than typing in like a brief synopsis into Copilot to get your script, you know?
I mean, it's kind of what I said at the beginning. I think it's a great tool and I'm honestly not worried about it because no matter what, you still have to have people implement, like, especially when you're talking about movies, like it could probably write a script, but you still have to have a crew implement, like, and do everything else.
Yeah, but I guess
maybe not anymore.
Yeah, just, like with like an intro though, or like some other, like we could get down to like animated stuff though, like almost. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you could like it might dig into the market a little bit because certain people are going to be using it, and so that's going to cut into some jobs. But you're still going to have a demand for live action, real people. I think. People are worried, but I'm not as worried as they're making it out to be, just because I don't think it's going to take a huge piece. Not yet, anyway. If it gets really good, shit.
Well, you already just said how much it's come since, like, when we...
I know.
They were doing the Will Smith videos, so...
I still think we're a long way off. I'm watching the Secret Wars intro, and it sucks, by the way.
Well, I didn't say it was good, but they used it though. They took it because I think that was kind of during some of the strikes.
Well, you understand the irony behind the AI generated intro for Secret Wars, right? Secret Wars was it's the Kroll that are the identity of the people, and they're basically just AI generating themselves. It's here, and they're portraying it on the show. By the way, I don't like that show. That show was kind of lame. But
I watched some of it. I never finished it.
Have you watched The Creator?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, The Creator is probably the best example of where I think AI is going to go.
Dude, if it ever gets there, we're screwed, and I'm here for it.
Well, they're just turning into like living people now.
Yeah, dude, he's sleeping with them. And they have children. They have spawns.
Yeah. And they're a whole new race, new species, I guess.
Yeah, but Creator showed it to a point where, like, you could hang out with a robot. It wasn't like they were all Skynet.
Yeah.
Do you think
were they better than people?
Is an AI robot?
I think it kind of raised that question. Like, were these robots more ethical, more moral?
They were.
Were they?
Well, you saw the slides. They were way better than humans, for sure.
Yeah.
I have not watched it. So I'm just thinking, strictly for the biz, you know, like, would they make better content than a human? You know?
That level? Probably.
Probably? Yeah. Well, then we're all screwed, like you said.
Hey, if it gets we're screwed.
Yeah, I find AI, I think it can be a useful tool. I'm with you, like Aaron, though, is with like, okay, people are like, look what I did, like, and trying to claim it as like their own, which I'm like, you know, like, hey, use it as a tool. Like, I personally have used it. Like, it's helped me with my work. I get stumped, you know, like you get like a brain fart where I can't think. And so I use some of this to collect information, collect thoughts from the internet to put into one place. I got to then source that and make sure it's all accurate and make sure it's good. But I've made some presentations using it. So I think it's valuable. I can see like a writer where they get, maybe they're just stuck on something. They need something to spark it. Right now you got AI to help you with that.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, it's not that different. Like, writers use prompts all the time. Like, it's nothing new. I think it's just at this level of how much it could do for you, it's kind of freaking people out. But,
well, it's scary how
it would have to get really fucking good for people to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go watch this AI movie as opposed to this Christopher Nolan movie.
Okay, well, here's the, I mean, I might. Would you watch the AI movie, Aaron? That was a cool question.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think,
how would you know?
Out of curiosity?
Out of curiosity. And also at this point, like, it's not 100% AI. Like, people are still making that movie.
Unless I'm talking about like you, like they're making that AI, like create videos like the Will Smith video. Like, that's what I'm talking about. There is no, like, people entire involved movie? At all.
I would definitely go in and like expecting it to suck, but I'd go watch it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like an ethical question for me. It's just
pay some money.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a fair statement. I mean, that's,
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get
whoever typed in the question, whoever typed out the description for the AI to create it.
Oh, fuck that guy then.
That's my real question, is who's going to get the proceeds from that? Because I'm going to type out a bunch of shit on AI and say I did it first.
Dude, AI is the next thing, man. People are already trying to, like, capitalizing off of it. So,
dude, that's where these lawsuits are huge. Like, because what you're talking about, Ryan, like, that's why they're having these discussions. Because,
yeah, you're going to make money, who's right? Gonna get paid? Yeah, who's these gonna people, the people that AI is stealing from, they should get paid, right? They need royalties, right? Like, oh, we took X amount from your work that you did 20 years ago. Here's 10 cents. I don't know what things are worth, but, you know, I think that's what they need to start doing, which is a large catalog of all the source materials. But I don't know. I find it interesting. I love fiddling around with AI. So does Ryan. But
telling you, I'm going to sue the shit out of Vin Diesel when that Street Sharks movie is made.
Dude, I'm sure he probably already has it. Vin Diesel's probably wrote down, like, typed into AI, like, every single thing that he could possibly be in.
Fast and Furious related.
That's right.
Vin Diesel, like, Star Wars.
Copyrighted. Can't take that.
I love when he started turning down every script other than Fast and Furious. He's basically retired from acting, but
he can't retire
from being dumb, because that's just who he is now.
Isn't he? I thought he's just trying to do his own weird shit, you know? Like, he's trying to do another, like, Witch Hunter 2 movie, which the first one sucked, so I don't know why you want to do it again. Like, he just thinks, like, he knows, like, what's best for the audience.
Yeah, I don't know where he gets that.
It's what AI. I think he's AI.
He might be AI.
Dude, he might be AI.
Yeah. All right. Should we get into some trailers?
Well, trailers. I don't know. Are they AI?
I can only talk about one of them.
That's fine.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies in the Beyond.
Trailers. So, real fast, tell me what you think of when you hear the title "Baby Assassins 2." What do you think?
I think a CGI movie with a baby with really a big head,
like people killing babies. Some reason.
Wow. Yeah. Way different directions.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was more in line with, I think, Ryan, where I just thought babies were actually assassins killing people. But It's
like Aaron's idea.
It's killing babies. Jeez.
I was thinking, like, what is so important about these babies that you have to assassinate them?
Oh, good point. Very good point.
Is it directed by Matthew Vaughn, and there's going to be a bunch of weird dancing smoke scenes?
That's what I'm saying. They got like some type of weird bomb that blows up people's heads or something. It's a foreign film.
Oh.
So
they're not killing babies?
No, they just look really young, and they are assassins. So, like, I was very disappointed by not, like, figuring out that they're not really babies killing people. But it looks like a fun. It's like the, you know, the teenagers that don't want to do shit, you know, movie, and they kill people. Like, that's what they figured out. Hey, well, I guess we'll just go kill people because we suck at everything else. Looks pretty funny. And it's a sequel. And the action looks pretty good. But yeah, read subtitles.
It's a sequel to what?
Baby Assassins. Come on.
Oh, baby. It's a second Duh. One.
Yes.
Well, what kind of a baby?
What kind of foreign film is it? Is it an Asian foreign film?
Yeah.
French foreign film? Okay.
Yeah, they're good at martial arts.
You got to define foreign film. French ones, like, you might see people killing babies.
Yeah, he's got a good point.
As far as I know, there's no killing babies.
If it was Russian, it would definitely be people assassinating babies.
Oh. 100%. Japanese ones would be babies killing babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Okay. Well, Aaron, you can make that film.
Let's put it in AI right now.
Put it in AI.
I'm going to get a script. Fried direct Star Wars, Ryan.
We'll get you a script real fast, Aaron.
It's going to be
Baby Assassin, voiced by Nicolas Cage, directed by Aaron Tanguma.
Gerber Baby versus
Pepper's Baby.
Pepper's Baby.
Can we go? Can you like ask the AI, like, hey, write me a script and copyright it, please?
God, I hope not.
Real fast, copyright that, okay?
Copyright that and send it to the Hollywood executive before Vin Diesel sees it.
Yeah. All right. The last trailer, which will kick us, give us a nice segue in the news, is Boy Kills World with Bill Skarsgård, a.k.a. Pennywise, which... Dude, the whole time I'm watching this film, like, that's all I could think about. I kept on seeing Pennywise. I'm like, man, Pennywise is such a badass.
You wouldn't be wrong.
Is he typecast as Pennywise in your mind forever? Because he was in Barbarian, and he didn't remind me of Pennywise. Kind of.
What?
No, I think in that one, he did not. He was still creepy, though. He just has, like, that look. It's really weird.
Was Hemlock Grove, and so
I tried watching it, I never finished it. Werewolves.
It was decent.
Yeah, I thought it looked good, but I don't know. Too many things, too much to watch on Netflix. But yeah, Bill Skarsgård is he's an assassin. He kind of looks like a baby assassin, to be honest. He's out. He has a mission to take down this corporation. It's like, I don't know if this is like a set in the near future or what, but basically it's turned into a future where there's TV shows that are sponsored by cereals to murder people. You know, it's one of those kind of societies. And Bill, his character, loses his parents as a young age, loses his hearing and voice, and so he has a cool inner voice of, is it H. John Benjamin? What's the H stand for?
Archer.
Archer?
Archer? The H stands for Archer?
Stands for hero.
Oh, Hero R. Benjamin. No, John Benjamin. I don't know where I put it.
It's Archer John Benjamin.
Yeah, well,
no, it's Harry.
I fucking love that, though. That you having love that as an inner voice and doing your monologues and like just was hilarious. I loved how he just had that inner voice, but he doesn't talk at all.
Have we ever asked that question on our podcast, who our inner voice would be?
I think you gotta save it. That's a really good question.
That's a good question. Oh, just you did the prompt. You got to do it, Peter.
Oh shit!
What? How? Why? I have so many questions.
Off the rails.
James Earl Jones.
Even if he gave away his likeness to Disney.
I'm sorry. My reaction was racist.
That tick. Just one of his voice. Not his likeness, just his voice.
I know, but it's a very black voice.
Yeah, my inner self is very, very black, Aaron.
Oh, can I pick a black guy too?
Do whatever you want. I mean, this is a quick question.
I'm going to pick a black guy, but I forgot his name. I got to remember his name. He was the voice of Spawn. What was his name?
Michael White? Michael Jai White?
No, that's the actor.
He played Spawn.
The voice
of Spawn in the animated show. He was a badass.
I don't. Maybe Nicolas Cage. That'd be fun. Have his in there.
Nick Cage would be a great inner voice.
Yeah, I like
that. Keith David. Would be my inner voice.
All right, Aaron.
Who's your black inner voice, Aaron?
My inner voice?
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's the chick that's in the... Hold on, I gotta look this up.
The girl from Two Broke Girls with the Big Tits?
No, that would be Evans.
Kat Dennings?
Kat Dennings?
Anna Klumsky.
Anna Klumsky? Who's that?
A girl from My Girl. And
My Girl?
Yeah.
All grown up?
At whatever age. Just her voice.
Okay.
Oh. Oh. That's... Okay.
What?
All right.
I can't picture her voice. I just know her face. And she looks
I've thought about this a lot, and she...
I'm going to have to listen to her voice later on.
That's how I sound on the inside.
I'm going to have to take a look at this, but holy crap, I didn't know she grew up.
Everybody grows up, Peter.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just thought she left the biz.
I thought she just, after My Girl, just, you know, got stung by a bee and went away.
Yeah, but so anyways... Bill, Billy, as I like to refer to him, he's just a badass, and he's going to go take on this whole corporation with the kill team. I like to call it that, a kill team. So, I think he looks fantastic, really cool, slick action, and brings us to our next thing because we're keeping it with Billy. Let's get into Billy. Our news.
That's from Nintendo Wii, right?
No.
Billy is the new Crow.
Boo.
And Ryan, put up the Ryan. His pictures. Put the pictures on the YouTube. Let's look at this. We got a first look of Bill Skarsgård as the new Crow. And, this is like... The Suicide Squad Joker is the new Crow.
Oh, now you put it that way. Now I don't even want to see the movie anymore.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's fucking weird.
Oh, no.
He's all tatted up. I mean, yeah, he looks really goth, so I guess that fits into
it. Are you guys expecting Brandon Lee?
No, I was expecting Sting from wrestling.
Or Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, yeah.
They took that away from us.
See, now I don't want that because I want Jason Momoa as Sting from wrestling or the Crow, whatever his name is.
I mean, talking about like using some AI, man, bring back Brandon Lee, huh?
I mean, I can promise you he's going to do a better performance than Jason would have done.
That's true. He would have been more sober.
Like 10 times better.
10 times more sober too. Okay, Billy's a better actor for it, but I mean, they had a prime opportunity to make him look at least like what we always envision the Crow looks like. I understand it's different. I don't know. I think he would look good like as a Brandon Lee.
They tried that 2 times and they were fucking terrible.
Yeah, but they used actors for that. They used the kid from fucking Terminator.
What I think is the Crow, I mean, is, you know, I think of the actual Crow, the bird. Yes. I don't know. It's the tattoos for me. Like it's on his face too. It's just face tattoos go a little bit too far. I don't know. It's weird.
That's weird. You're getting old.
Maybe.
It's a short hair for me. I think he needs long hair.
He has a fucking like mullet, man.
No,
he needs like long, the mullet.
He needs long hair and he needs the Crow eye things.
And you guys white know face. You still go back and watch the Brandon Lee version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it the other day.
That's like, what
6 months ago.
How fun of an experiment would this be? You simultaneously release the original Crow versus this one and see which one makes more money is in the theater. Where would you put your dollar? I think we already know where
we would put ours.
Yeah, but where were the masses?
People that are going to go watch Bill, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I don't know.
Because not a lot of people even know who Bruce Lee is.
Including me, so they're going to break even.
You're going to do both, so they get both your money?
Yeah.
I mean, that might happen. It could just be even.
I don't have the fear of remakes that most people have. I like people to... I'm not saying I like all remakes, but I don't...
I'm not afraid of it either. It's just right now, these first looks, and maybe I'll change my mind after I see a trailer for it, which I'm... It's just everything that's kind of happening. Like, I'm just blown away by this. How I just, like, it just seems like they just dropped that. Oh, yeah, by the way, we made a whole fucking movie. You know, when last time we were talking about Jason Momoa doing it. You know?
Well, you didn't know Bill was on it? I mean, they updates out there, dude.
Oh.
They've definitely been putting updates out there.
I was too busy looking up Ghostbusters shit.
Well, Peter, they did the same thing with Toxic Avenger. There's a full ass movie ready to go, and it's out. And we've seen maybe one arm of Toxie right now.
Yeah, but they're out
since, like, September.
They're doing the whole, like, you know, festival circuit. You know, I get that. This is not, as far as I know, it's not doing a festival circuit. It's just going to come out in June, apparently. And which, it's like, dude, it's really only like 4 months away. If that,
so we should see a trailer like this month.
Yeah, the fact that we just like, okay, now we got like some images. Like, this is their marketing. Like, they're just ramping up. But it also is kind of worrisome. It's like, well, maybe this movie's not going to be that good.
See, this is why I don't like the whole knowing things before you should know them. Because all we have is an image. We don't know anything about where they're taking the story. If it's
all starts with the image, Aaron. Image speaks volumes.
The image would be perfect for that character. We don't know shit yet.
One of his tattoos has it's a person's face, and it's his nipples is his eye. That's weird.
His nipples like fantastic, that. By the way.
That one with the tattoo, it just really stands out. It's really red.
Which one again?
Look at the picture. His left, our right. If you look at the right, it really stands out. Yeah, I don't know. The guy's ripped.
Stand out.
Yeah, it's the eye thing, man. It's the eye.
Look how amazing he looks in the boy thing. Boy Kills.
Yeah, dude. I think he got ripped for both of these. He's like,
he's gonna be the poo in this movie. He's gonna be people up.
You don't. Oh, the eye on the nipple. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can see it now.
Yeah.
Peter doesn't like nipples I can see.
He has... Oh, I guess he does have a little bit of Crow makeup on his face.
Yeah, there's some.
He doesn't really have a mullet, but...
I mean, the fact that we just saw a trailer with him being a badass, like, I think that part he's going to execute very well. He's going to be a badass in it. It's just...
And the performance.
Yeah, but can they execute the tone from the original? You know, like, I think that's the key thing. Like, that
why,
was...
Why?
Because I think the tone is important. Like, the tone was... Like, okay.
Why bring up the original at all? It's going to suck if... Because I care... The Crow is one of my favorite movies. If I go into this next movie thinking... In fact, that's how they could fuck it up. If they try too hard to match anything from the original, they're screwed.
But here's the thing, though.
Perfection.
Okay.
That's what I hate about remakes is when they try to lean, when they rely on nostalgia. No, bring your own story, bring your own characters, fucking make it new.
I agree with that, but I think tone is important. Unless you totally change it, but like this is part of the thing.
Isn't important, but why does it have to match the old one?
Okay, this is how I relate it to. It's like with like Ghostbusters, right? The original Ghostbusters 1 and 2, like they have this tone, right? The style of it, and then when they went to like the girls' Ghostbusters to try to reboot it, and like I have nothing with it, but they changed that tone, and it was too different almost. And then they went back to like the afterlife, which I feel like the tone matched the original 1 and 2. You disagree with me?
I totally disagree.
You don't think it that tone matched?
Watch them like right next to each other. I actually think it was darker because they didn't have the comedic chops of the original guys to rely on. You have younger kids. I think the tone's a lot more like somber
for first life.
It's the original Ghostbusters easygoing comedy. It's Harold Ramis in his fucking prime. Afterlife, they started out, they're like, hey, we're gonna take it slow, mysterious. Dude, the tone is so different in the third
Afterlife is pretty somber,
that
dude.
Benefited. They had some nostalgia,
but
we're introducing new completely new characters.
The comedy from the first ones, it's very dry comedy. Like that's what I felt like Afterlife did. And I felt
the only comedy we get from Afterlife is really Paul Rudd, and it's goofy.
That's true. It did kind of change. He's like the Bill Murray kind of, type, I guess.
Did you just compare Bill Murray to Paul Rudd?
Yeah, Paul's an American Treasure too, Ryan. Two people can be amazing.
That's right. They both are amazing. And I can't wait. Like, they're going to share some screen time. It's going to be amazing in the new one.
That's right. He's not a dog anymore.
Yeah. I disagree. I feel like those two movies, I feel like the original ones in Afterlife are so close. Yes, it is very emotional because of what they did. But I think the tone is really close. So, but
I know. If you watch them side by side, you got.
I'll watch all three of them, all four of them all at the same time.
You got a comedy and you got kind of a drama.
It's a dramedy, if anything, then. Dramedy.
Oh, no. That genre sucks.
I love dramedies. okay. Speaking of just straight up comedy, though,
Dramedy.
I love this idea. If you were to do a Naked Gun reboot, who would you put into it? Who would you cast as the Leslie Nielsen character?
Leslie Nielsen.
But he's no longer, right? He died.
Bring him back.
AI!
Seth Rogen.
Ew.
Yeah, I disagree.
Paul Rudd.
Sure, Paul Rudd would work, but... Liam Neeson!
I could get behind that.
Dude, I love this, man.
Liam has some comedy chops, dude.
He absolutely does. Like, what? And this is something where he doesn't do a lot of this, but dude, like he's so funny, but he's also he plays it so straight, and that's the whole point of it. He's so good at it.
This whole fucking cameo in Ted is like the best part of that movie.
Ted, all those Seth MacFarlane movies. He made an appearance in A Thousand Ways to Die or A Million Ways to Die in the West. Mm-hmm. Dude, he does the voice of that Good Cop, Bad Cop in the Lego movie. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
The guy's fantastic, and I love this. And they're also
he's right at that age, too.
Yeah, and like the guy, one of the Lonely Island guys, I believe the guy that did Hot Rod, the director, whatever.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, he's
the shorter guy, right?
I think so. I don't know. He's the director, though.
Akiva Schaffer.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the shorter guy, Aaron. I think he's the guy that doesn't usually go so much on the
screen. Oh, you don't see him. Yeah.
Yeah, as much. I think he
looks like Seth Rogen.
Does he? Yeah. But I don't know. I guess apparently it's still kind of in the works and has a release date of 2025. So I love this idea. I think.
So wait, what does Seth MacFarlane have to do with this? I'm looking at this right here and I don't see 2021. Neeson told people that MacFarlane
came out.
No, he's just done a lot of cameos in his movies. That's how we know he's funny.
Oh, yeah. We were telling you that, Ryan, because you didn't think he was funny.
He's hilarious.
Have you seen all the Bacon movies? No, Liam Neeson.
Oh, well, my question was about Seth MacFarlane.
Twat.
What about him?
I'm looking at this IGN article and it says MacFarlane and Paramount Studios approached him to star in a Naked Gun reboot.
Oh, so he's probably producing it.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Oh, and I guess Ed Helms was reported to star there. So it's Liam Neeson, not Leslie Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. See, that's perfect. So this generation won't know the difference. They'll probably think the old ones were Liam Neeson too.
Probably.
If they do it right. And that's trendy. And that's going to work.
Ryan, you want to drop the next piece of news?
Fuck yeah. This is taking way too long to happen because I just realized it's still 2024. But in 2026, we are going to get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem sequel.
Nice. About time they greenlit that.
Yeah, I'm glad they did because the original one didn't do as well as expected in the movie theater. But there's a huge fan base of shows coming out and whatnot in the future as well.
Nice. Love it. Can't wait. Let's move on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You talked about anybody. Did you guys see the news about the Power Rangers reboot coming out on Netflix?
No.
No.
I saw it pop up today. But anyway, maybe that's for a future episode.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's worth it.
It's time for our, Aaron, what we like to call the meat and potatoes.
Maybe we should call it Franken.
Franken beans?
Yeah.
This is a Frank.
Reviews! You know, oh man, I don't even know. We got a whole. We got some new ones, guys. We have some new ones. You know, since I'm talking, I'm going to go first. That's how it goes. I went to the movie theater. I made it to the movies. Fuck out.
Shut up.
Pretty crazy, right?
The whole family?
No, just me.
Nice.
So, you didn't call us?
So it was very last minute. I didn't even know what I was going to do. Like, so my wife was having like a girl's night and they were supposed to watch the new Hunger Games movie. And so only girls allowed. And so I was supposed to leave. And so I left. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
And hey, Ryan, you want to go to Alamo Drafthouse? Sure, Peter. I'll get us tickets.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody so I went to the Regal Theater in Longmont by myself. But actually, okay, I take that back. I drove around for a while. I didn't, like, what am I going to do? And then I was like, oh, man, I got this gift card to the Regal Theater, so let me try this out. And I went there, and the thing that was just right at the right time, right, because this is how this is going to work, because if there was shit that wasn't playing right at the right time, I was going to go do something else. But Land of Bad, out of the Land of Bad is what I saw that was right at the right time of 3:15 in the afternoon. Dude, I didn't even know what this movie was, to be honest. I had no idea.
After watching it?
Well, no, after I watched it, I understood. No. I don't think I saw a trailer for it. I
had never heard of this. We do a movie podcast.
Yeah, Russell Crowe's in it. Luke Hemsworth's in it. Luke Hemsworth? Oh, yeah, he was. Liam Hemsworth was in it. Milo Ventimiglia, you know, nailed Little it. Rocky. All in it, and it's a soldier movie. The whole thing is Delta Force team is ambushed in the enemy territory. Like, they're on a secret mission, you know, like off the records, right? They're trying to go save this guy that was kidnapped from these from this enemy. All hell breaks loose. It really focuses on Liam Hemsworth, and he's like the kind of like the rookie from the Air Force. But he's like the drone person. He talks to the drone pilot, who the drone pilot is Russell Crowe, which makes sense now because I feel like, you know, Russell Crowe has gotten just so big that I don't think he really does the action anymore. And so
I don't think people his age know how to use drones.
Well, they did in this movie, and he did a hell of a job of pretending like he knew how to do it. Nice. So, he's the drone pilot. And this is kind of like the weird part, because like they start off like, right, like it's like the operations, the ops mission is like in the field, right? It's so dark and everything, and like kind of you know, kind of intense, right? And then it cuts to like Russell Crowe, and he's like just in an office in Las Vegas, just like dun da da. My wife's about to give birth, and he's fucking like 75. Made no sense. And just, you know, kind of like the big old, I don't even know what he was, drone pilot, because he wanted to have active duty pay instead of like sergeant pay or captain pay or some shit. I don't really know about the pay scales in the Army or Air Force. And it's such a weird dynamic, this back and forth. I was like, I don't even understand what's going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, I understand like he's the drone pilot and he's there to back up. He's the eye in the sky, which this is such a new way of like, battle now, which drone I thought pilot? Well, just adding the drone aspect to warfare, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm used to all the movies where, you know, we didn't have drones, and I know that like, there's like that big, you know, I don't know, there's a few years back, right? There's a lot of different movies that kind of they talked about that, and just kind of like, it's so you're so disconnected. I think that was kind of the main point they're doing, is like, you know, you're a drone pilot is bombing random, you know, people from a bunker in Las Vegas, right? You go home at the end of the day every single day, right? Yeah. So it was
a movie that like featured it.
There is one, and it was quite the drama. I'm trying to remember. I saw it in theaters too. Again, by myself. I see a lot of movies by myself.
That's news to me.
Now you know. The more you know, Ryan.
I don't have that drop anymore.
The more you know. Yeah. So I thought the action was really cool. I thought everyone did a great job of you know, actually all the actors being like their special forces people. I thought they did a great job. Like I think from you, Aaron, the Biz, and Sergio, they're always talking about, like, you know, protocols and making sure like your finger's off the trigger, you know, like doing all that. I'm always watching for that shit now to see if like they actually had training, or if there's like, here's a gun, just go in and have fun with it. You know, I'm looking to see like, do they just point the gun at the other character, you know, because they're just so oblivious to what's going on. And like, no, like they seem like really legit, and I thought it was executed well with the action and everything. And so, like I said, it and then adding in the drone part of it was, again, that new aspect for me that kept me very intrigued in this movie was just that part of it where, like, now you got eyes in the sky and, like, they're constantly, like, helping Liam Hemsworth, you know, with, like, getting away from the enemy, right? Helping him, like, navigate, like, hey, coast is clear this direction, go this way. Oh shit, you got people coming, you need to hide. Like, it just added this whole new element that was very interesting and something that I haven't seen before with the whole interacting with someone like there in the operation itself. A lot of back and forth. I would say a lot of twists and turns in this movie that I wasn't expecting, all for the better. And I thought it was fantastic. It was a fun time at the movies, but I think it's actually might be out on VOD now.
I think it's been on VOD for a minute.
I know. That's the other part that's just so crazy is that, you can, no, it's coming out March 19th. Okay. So I guess it's not. Maybe I saw, I don't know.
And I remember seeing ads about this when I thought it was a straight to streaming and then it kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Well, it disappeared in the theaters, Aaron. That's where it went. Yeah.
It's like a drone just picked it up and dropped it off in the trash.
I know. And it was so crazy. Just the whole, again, I can't talk about enough of just the whole, like, the weird someone just, you know, there's a little scene, like, where, like, you're out in, like, the grocery store and yet you're still helping the people that were, like, you know, in heavy combat, you know, like that's the part that was just like, well, this is just nuts. This is just
crazy. That is weird.
Yeah. And that whole dynamic, it was kind of weird. Like you're all about, like, supporting, like, the military at the same time. Like they made, like, the Air Force, like, kind of guys, like, well, not, I shouldn't say all of them. Like, they had their part too, but also gave them, like, a bad rap. Cause, like, you know, some of their higher ups and everything weren't as, on board with the mission as Russell Crowe might have been. But all very well executed, fun action flick for the military, you know, military action flick. And yeah, I recommend it. It was a good time at the movies. So there you go. Or you can wait till March 19th and just watch it at home. I think just as enjoyable at home on the couch with
popcorn. It sounds like a movie me and my dad would like.
Oh yeah. I think your dad and you would 100% like it. And you too, the biz.
Ernie definitely loves that kind of stuff.
Yeah, dude, it was cool. It was cool. Never a dull moment. So, Land of Bad.
Aaron, I'm going to go next because I want to save yours for the best, for the last, because I think all of us are more intrigued about Lisa Frankenstein than they are about Madam Web.
Madam Web.
I almost saw this. Fascinated. Because it didn't come out, I was like, I don't want to sit around for like 10 minutes. I did not.
10 minutes? Yeah. 10 minutes was the difference?
Yeah, because I was actually late to the movie theater, but I was like, this is probably the right amount of time. And literally, dude, I got to my seat and maybe had to watch 1 minute of trailers and then the movie started. And I was like, that's what I wanted. I don't like, you know, as much as I watch trailers, I hate sitting in a movie theater for 20 minutes watching trailers for nonstop.
Amen. Well,
the thing is, we watch enough of those trailers on YouTube, you and I. So when we go to the theaters, they're not a surprise anymore.
No, they're not.
They're really not. And that was like the feature about trailers back in the day, is they were going to give us something we couldn't see online or we couldn't see at our own homes. So, but now it's like, dude, we frequent the movies enough where you go and it's like, oh, Dune again? Okay, cool.
Yeah. I remember movies, like, on VHS and, like, being excited for the trailers on VHS.
Pagemaster, dude. I bought the Pagemaster VHS so I could watch a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers trailer. That was the only I bought it, dude.
I forgot about that.
And I think on the cover it had a feature, like, movie trailer for the Power Rangers. And I think the other one was, like, the Indian in the Cupboard had another one, too.
Yeah. Nice. Oh man,
that's a big selling point back then.
Yeah, that and the gimmick of the toy with Indian in the Cupboard with the reversible cover, that was that's smart shit.
Yeah, gotta bring that back.
Well, Sony doesn't have any smart shit for I'm gonna call it my damn web because that's all I've been calling it this entire time. Madame Web is probably the most boring ass Spider-Man movie I've ever seen in my entire life. Okay. There was no. Ask me a question, and ask me this question: was there Spider-Man in it?
Oh, I know there was.
Spider-Man in it?
There was,
oh, but barely. I did not know that.
So, the Spider-Man.
So okay,
or just this a is, Spider-Man.
Which one?
Should I just tell you that part over the movie? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the best part of this movie. That's
what piqued my interest so far.
The best part of this movie is you actually get to see Ben Parker be Ben Parker.
Who's Ben Parker?
Ben Parker is Peter Parker's uncle, and he's played by Adam Scott.
Ooh.
He is co-workers with Cassie Webb, and they're paramedics. So when you heard the name Ben and she said Parker, I'm like, that can't be Ben Parker, right? And then you're like, oh shit, that's Ben Parker, because he references his brother, Richard Parker, who's out on a mission that they can't talk about. And then there's a whole baby shower where Emma Roberts plays Mary Parker. Mary Parker is a certain Peter Parker's mother. So you're watching all this happen, and the movie takes place in 2003, 2004. So if you do your math correctly, that would estimate that Civil War Tom Holland Spider-Man was 14 years old.
I get. I don't.
Well, do math,
but
Peter.
But the fact that you just said they're on a secret mission or something that they're on, like, that tells me it's Adam or Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. They are on a secret mission.
Well, that's the story about Richard Parker. That's who he is. But here's the best part. Yeah, this Ben Parker. Yeah, go ahead.
All of the questions? Ben Parkers?
No, Ben Parker was just a dude.
I know, but all the Richard Parkers, like, they were always on a, they always died in a special mission, though. I thought he just died.
Apparently. Hmm. If you look up Richard and Mary Parker, they were in flashbacks and photographs, and they were like, they're fucking agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., dude.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, you didn't know that.
I didn't either, but when
that's canon, huh? That's canon.
I think it's canon. I think this movie's canon because it takes place in 2003. If you do the math, current Peter Parker should be about 19 years old, just out of high school, getting into college. I think it maths correctly. So Madame Web set it up. And that's right. The one thing I like about this movie is it set up like a backstory of like the Spider-Man history. So maybe Sony is setting up like how Peter Parker got his powers. And it wasn't a radioactive spider, because that's to be determined in the MCU, right? Nobody's like really known how he got his powers.
Well, he just mentions it briefly.
So in this movie, there's a spider in the Amazon that they've been tracking that can help like human development and growth and like help human society and people. But Ezekiel Sims is on another mission to control its power. Since he's power hungry, he gets the spider, kills Cassie Webb's mom. She's born under this Amazonian like spider people life. And then fast forward to 2003, she's just a paramedic and she doesn't know she has powers until they're activated. Her powers are she's basically Nick Cage in what?
Next.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. So she could see the future. And it's literally like, I think it's like 10 seconds ahead of time. So she can like forecast what's going, so she can alter it. There's not a lot of spider stuff in this. I mean, it's a lot of spider backstory. And then you get to see flashes of the spider women, which is Sydney Sweeney, your movie that you watch, anybody but you.
Oh.
Isabella Merced, and then Celeste O'Connor, which you have Julia Cornwell, you have Anya Carzone, and Maddie Franklin.
All that stuff you saw them like in costumes, that's just flashes.
Dude, it's a quick flash of them in the future with Ezekiel. And the point, here's a plot of the movie. Ezekiel's out to kill these three girls because if he doesn't, they kill him. So he is like trying to prevent them from killing him. So he's chasing them, but they don't have any of their powers.
So in this movie, besides those flashes, they don't get in their costumes.
For a quick flash forward scene, and then the end of the movie, you see them in their costumes. But like no,
how many minutes?
Yeah.
I would say maybe a minute. Maybe. Maybe a minute.
I'm going to see this even less.
I mean, I feel like that's probably the right way to go about this, but
they have no explanations how they get their powers. None of that. They're just three teenage girls who don't know what the fuck is going on.
That's so weird.
And then you have Dakota Johnson, who doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and she's trying to figure it out with this team of non-Spider Women who are eventually Spider Women, but they're fighting this dude who looks like a Wish.com Spider-Man. And when he's in his normal business form, he is the worst. This is the worst actor I've ever. Just go look up Tahar Rahim and just listen to this guy talk. Dude, he talks like he's reading his lines. It's so terrible.
This is the bad guy?
This is the bad guy.
Okay.
And what makes
Manager the other Spider-Man.
He's just a weird dude. Like, his character walks around New York City. He's in a suit and he's barefoot.
Of course.
Like, what? And he drives a Corvette into diners.
Into diners.
Like, the movie sounds as terrible as people have been saying.
It sounds as terrible?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I mean, if you pick up the pieces, what they're trying to do for future Spider-Man or current day Spider-Man, that it's like a prologue for it, then I can see what they're doing. They set up Dakota Johnson pretty well as Madame Web, and it kind of set her up to, you know, because Madame Web's an old lady when Peter Parker meets her. So I guess it.
But she's not going to be an old lady, though. Like,
she's going to be 20 years. Yeah, she's going to be a blind lady who.
She's going to be 40 at that time. She's not going to be old and wrinkly.
Spider-Man takes it out on you, Peter.
Yeah, dude, being blind and foretelling the future, she can be old.
But I don't know, man. It just sounds like there's nothing to invest. Like, we don't even know what's going to happen to the current Spider-Man. And so this movie just. It sounds like, why give a crap about it? Which is probably how a lot of the creators felt by the time it was made.
I think the mistake that they're doing is don't have them connected. I think that's why Venom works. Venom's not connected, really.
Venom is connected, though, now.
They're barely. But it didn't start out that way.
Yeah, think about the first Venom. Dude, there's nothing.
And it's really not connected. They just decided, hey, let's bring in a possibility that their universes will connect.
Yeah.
Okay, well, saying what I said, I'm assuming, I don't know if they're going to connect it, but it really feels like they are.
Sounds like it.
And then what was the other one? Morbius? No connection, right? Just maybe a photo of...
That has connections. Dude, Michael Keaton was in it. At the very end.
That's right. Stinger. So, Aaron, you brought up a good point. Like, where is this going? And should you be invested in it? No, honestly, because it really does feel like Sony is getting this IP, and they're just pumping out shit just so they can hold the rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping that Venom, they kind of go back to it being its own thing, because we still don't know what Tom Holland's going to do. And
yeah, and that's the same thing with Kraven, man. Like, I hope Kraven does the same thing. We're like, just don't even mention Spider-Man.
Same. I'm actually really excited for Kraven. But yeah, if they try to connect it, it'll be crap.
Yep.
Rumor has it that Sony's pushing for a 2025 release of a Spider-Man movie. And they're trying to bring in the original director of Spider-Man Far From Home. So
is that Mark Webb?
It wasn't Mark Webb. It was a guy who did... he's from Colorado.
That's my least favorite Spider-Man.
Far From... Oh, that was the second one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like
John Watts.
Oh, John... Yeah, he did the first two, though.
He did all of them, actually.
Oh. So he's hit or miss. That's what we got. All right.
Hey, he's two out of three. So is Sam Raimi, okay?
This really looks like a movie that Sony had to pump out so they could keep the rights of Spider-Man. And they're doing it through all these ancillary characters.
That sucks.
I think they should have just kept with the Sinister Six, honestly. Like, did a Vulture movie. We need a good Dr. Octopus. I mean... We need Who was it?
Alfred Fantastic.
Yeah, Alfred Modena should,
Molina. Should
just bring him back 100%. But give us the Sinister Six. That way it could build up into the eventual Spider-Man versus Sinister Six, and Sony can still keep those rights. And, dude, they have the best property out there. They have Miles Morales. Like, they can literally build their own Spider-Man, and MCU can have their Tom Holland, Peter Parker. And they have the youth with Miles Morales. So I don't know why they're trying to rehash this old story or try and connecting it to what's going on in MCU.
I guarantee you they're trying to bring in a female audience, and somewhere along the lines, this project, like Fantastic Four, just went to hell.
Yeah. Which is strange because...
Miles Kennedy, Fantastic Four.
That one's a...
Miles Kennedy?
What? I don't know. That's the wrong name.
Miles Teller.
Miles
Teller.
Miles Kennedy is the singer of Alter Bridge. You're supposed to feel this connection between the girls and Dakota Johnson, and they just kind of act like they're talking at each other, not with each other. It's kind of weird. So overall, Peter, if the wifey has another girls' night and you need to catch a movie within 5 minutes, I'd say watch it, but otherwise, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Just go watch Land of Bad again.
I might do that the way you described it. Here's the thing, though. Like, this is how this movie's got me, is that I'm curious about just how bad it is, which, like, I understand, like, it's probably not going to be as bad, but at the same time, like, there really doesn't sound like there's anything I need to be invested in, you know?
It's not bad. You just don't need to be invested. Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, you can watch it, and it's not as bad as everybody made it seem, but it's just like, you know what this kind of seems like? This kind of seems like one of the first AI movies. Like, AI wrote this movie.
It might very well be.
Let's get three of the hottest names for young girls. Who's a girl who looks disinterested in being an actress? Oh, Dakota Johnson. Okay, cool. All right. And who's a villain? I don't know. Some guy from the Amazon. Perfect. Sounds good.
Oh, man. All right. I got 3 minutes and I got a bail.
Oh, shoot.
So you guys are going to have to finish it up.
I got you, dog.
All right.
Check it. So there's this movie that came out in 2024. It's called Lisa Frankenstein.
Two thumbs up,
audience. Wait, is that copyrighted? I don't think I can do that.
The two thumbs up?
No, they're dead.
Still.
The biggest thing, I didn't know that Willow Williams, well, I mean, Zelda. I guess I did know. Zelda, thank you.
Yeah, just making Zelda. Up names and Sam Williams at the end.
There's a good chance I might get it right. Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter, directed this. And that was probably the thing that blew me the most away. And as her first feature-length feature, how did it hold up? I mean, you get two thumbs, so I guess it was fantastic then.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty wary coming into horror movies that know that they're comedies, because they usually try too hard to be funny and they just miss the mark for me. And I was also afraid that this one was going to be too teeny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Young adult. And it kind of was, but at the same time, it's still fun. The character that Catherine Newton plays, the main character, Lisa Swallows, which is an awesome name, by the way.
That's great.
Real quirky, not a stereotypical character at all. Like you would expect to be written in this. Like, she's kind of lovable, kind of twisted, has her funny moments. You want her to succeed, but you also don't mind if she dies. It's weird. It's a good balance that they got.
I like that balance.
And then the whole romance of it isn't overdone. Like, it's still kind of practical. And for such an unbelievable story of this young girl who's kind of out of her element, kind of, I thought she was going to resurrect the kid, but he ends up just getting resurrected kind of naturally. And she ends up having this relationship with this Frankenstein character. They could have taken it a lot of ways. And I think they did a good job of not making it silly. not making it overly romantic. So you're like kind of grossed out because he's really ugly for most of it. And she's still like a practical teenager. It's not like it's a believable, funny movie. And there are a lot of parts that made me squirm, which I always appreciate because that's hard to do for me.
Yeah.
Really? Nice. Sure, yeah. I jumped in my movie. Loud noises made me jump.
That's fucked up.
Nice.
I love those moments.
I like it. I can't wait to see it. And I think it just actually came out on the VOD today, I believe.
Ryan said he's downloading me.
Oh, she was in freaking Detective Pikachu?
Cassie yeah.
She's Cassie Lang, too.
She's Cassie Lane. Oh, this is a. I like Cassie Lane. All right. Aaron, I have a question for you.
Well, real fast, I'm going to sign off, guys. You take it away and finish up, do your recommendations.
Do you want to do a 2-hour episode?
Aaron, the biz, thank you for being here, chatting with us. The AI, very good insights. It's 9:30. You must have a hard on. So, congrats.
I do.
I'll see you guys later.
Lisa Swallows. All right. Later. All right, Aaron. Question for you.
What?
Oh, let's go this way. Is this very close to Warm Bodies?
Kind of in tone.
Okay. Because Warm Bodies... Okay, I got to tell you a story about Warm Bodies. When I was dating this girl... Gorgeous.
Oh, see, this is a sick story. Good.
Well, no, the movie, she tricked me into watching Warm Bodies. And I was like, all right, it's a zombie movie. That's cool. I'll watch it. And then midway through, I looked over and I said, this is a fucking romance movie, isn't it? And she started laughing. And I was like, you just tricked me into watching like a teenage rom-com. But ultimately, I did enjoy Warm Bodies.
I was going to say, Warm Bodies is a rom-com that a sick individual like myself can enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, easily. So if it's anything like that, I think I'm in for this movie. And I've been seeing just a little bit of previews here and there, and I'm like, all right, I can get down with this movie. So
heck yeah, dude, the pace was done really well. Like, I never got bored, and even when like I was expecting a little bit more action packed. I don't know why. But even then, it's just paced really well. The music, the score is freaking amazing. There's a lot to love about this movie.
Does it have like an 80s vibe to it?
Ish. But they don't overdo it.
Okay. Because sometimes, Stranger Things, they overdo it. And
they do now. Like, the good thing about Stranger Things is it was 80s in season one, but it was the 80s we grew up with. It was like, it wasn't art. 80s, it was, oh no, I had that wallpaper, that couch, that rug. They didn't like shove it in your faces, and then once everybody like caught on that was cool, yeah. Like the other seasons were like, oh, here's the 80s, here's everything 80s. Like, dude, nobody dressed like that at our school.
No shit. Oh, Land of Bad is recently released. Interesting. I'm glad they don't. What was that one movie that, I mean, it kind of made sense. I reviewed it. It was the time traveling movie just recently. What was that fucking movie where
time travel?
Her mom, a recent one, and it was a horror one, and she went back into the 80s.
Oh, and it's Kieran and Shipka. I don't remember the name of it.
What was that called? And like, found out why the like Totally Killer or something like that,
totally
right?
Totally Killer, yeah.
Was that it? Totally Killer.
Yeah, Totally Killer is a Prime Video one.
Yeah. See, there was times in that movie where it was absolutely 80s, but they toned it down by bringing in elements of today. Like when she was in the 80s and she had a cell phone, and they're like, "What the hell do you have there?" You know. if Lisa Frankenstein has that kind of blend where it's not overly done, I think that's a good look and a good style for it. And even looking at the movie poster for it, it looks like one of those cheesy 80s style, like glowing movie posters where I'm like, Back then I wouldn't see it, but now I would totally see this.
What's really cool is that's really just Lisa's character. They don't like, okay. It's not like the whole movie has that kind of look, but that's what her character is like personality wise.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Does it take place in the '80s or is it now?
That's actually a good question. Let me check.
1989, Lisa Swallows is a lonely teenage girl shaken by her mother's gruesome axe murder a few months earlier. Gave away way too much. Barely. So late 80s, early 90s. So highly recommend it. Like, go catch this in the movie.
Go catch this in theaters just because I like theaters and I think that's where people should watch movies.
Oh, me too, man. You and I, we're on the same page. Alamo Draft House, pass. Go watch him whenever.
Watch everything you can.
Oh, dude. That's my favorite thing. And I don't know why Peter hasn't jumped on that. Well, maybe because Alamo's not close to him. But if you have one close to you, definitely just take advantage of it. Take your buddies. Get the pass for you and a buddy.
Peter's kind of out of luck because he's like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, he said Regal and Longmont. That's still so far.
Yeah, that's a ways away, dude.
Like,
did you see a fucking movie?
AMC at Orchard? Still kind of far away.
Yeah.
Aaron, I'm getting a little stuffy over here. I'm getting over a cold or maybe it's starting one, but let's get into some recommendations. What do you say? Let's do it.
Yes! Oh, God. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll always have what she's having. Prime Megan Ryan, or Meg Ryan, too, right? Not Meg Ryan nowadays, but doesn't Meg Ryan have a really hot daughter?
Because she got plastic surgery.
Meg Ryan's daughter is Daisy True Ryan. She must be cute. She has
that's a terrible name.
Oh, it's an adopted child. Doesn't she have a child with someone?
I don't know.
Well, we'll look it up as
well. No, her son. I know Jack Quaid. Is hers in Dennis Quaid's. No, Jack Quaid from The Boys.
That's right. That is Meg Ryan's son, huh?
Yep. He's like the perfect freaking mix between those two.
Yeah, he is. He totally is. He's dorky like her and dorky like Dennis Quaid, too. Oh, she was involved with Russell Crowe in 2000. Interesting. Enough about Meg Ryan. Aaron, what are you watching nowadays besides movies or reading?
I'm going to make it real easy, and I'm going to tell everybody to go watch the second season of Halo because this shit needs to keep getting renewed, and people need to realize that this is a great show.
Okay. I enjoyed the first season. It was a little slow-paced. I didn't shit on it. I thought, same thing. They need to make this show and keep on making it because the Halo universe is one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best storytelling out there. As it transpires from video game to a TV show, perfectly fine. And I totally agree with you. I have buddies who are watching the second season right now and they're continuing. They're saying, dude, watch it, follow it. And I agree with you on that one. So
dude, I think what's stopping people up is they started at Reach and it's kind of like people who were only played the first two games or something are kind of lost, but I think it's a great place to start story-wise. The reviews crack me up because people will shit on it in their headlines, but then they go on and say like, oh man, it's streamlined, it's action-packed, the performances are amazing. I was like, okay, what more are you, like, why are you shitting on it? And Rotten Tomatoes still has it, it's like 97% in this season, and I think they're right.
Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to hear about. You're like, I recommended it when it was first coming out, and then I've been getting recommendations with that plenty of times. So everybody who listens to the podcast, Halo Season 2, I'm going to join you on that one, but there is a samurai show that just came out, and it's called Shogun, and that's what I'm going to start watching. I've heard great reviews about Shogun itself, and I love samurai movies, TV shows, content, all that good stuff, so... how do I think catch this you can watch AMC? It on Hulu. Studios? Is it AMC? FX.
I think it's AMC Studios that did it, though.
Is it? Okay. Good. They do good shit.
I was going to say, yeah, they do stellar stuff. especially in the show.
Oh yeah, well, AMC's always been good at like the big scape of what they're trying to. They could understand like, all right, let's make this TV series. We know that we're gonna do this for 3 seasons at least. Prime example: Walking Dead, Preacher, Breaking Bad. Like the history behind them is pretty. If it is, yeah, AMC. Yeah,
they really invest in their shows.
So I want everybody to watch Shogun and Halo. And we don't have Peter's recommendation. I think his is go see the movie 5 minutes before they start.
Isn't that perfect?
Aaron, I'm going to go blow my nose because I have a bunch of mucus stuffed up in here.
I hope you don't get me sick.
No, I won't. We're far away from each other. But this weekend we're going to wrestling. So if you want to go catch some wrestling, we'll be at the Oriental Theater.
I'll be working.
Well, you'll be there in spirit with us. But that's it for this episode. Catch you next month.
Yes!
Oops, wrong one.
Oh,
or recommendations.